Have we started? We started, right. We're on. Okay, Good Friday is generally seen as a solemn day because it's the day that Jesus was crucified. But it always feels to me, particularly when you read that reading, particularly in Gethsemane, I think I've said this before once a few years ago when I did Good Friday service, that it's actually a celebration of just how much Jesus loved us, just what he was prepared to do for us, sitting here in this slightly cold hall in 2024, thousands of miles away, how much he loved us. It's easy to, Easter Sunday, I think, is obviously a celebration of the power of God rising from the dead. But Good Friday, it all seems to me, is a real celebration of just how much Jesus loved us. It's easy to sanitise. A lot of the Bible stories, I find, it's quite easy to sanitise because we know the end. We've read the end of the book, don't we? We know how it finishes. But at the time, they didn't. They didn't. And I don't think even Jesus at that point knew how it would finish. It was never, I don't think, a foregone conclusion that he would go through with it. When you read it, where's the bit? My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. You know, when we're upset, when we're really worried about something, sometimes it can feel that your whole body is shutting down because you're so worried. And I think that's how Jesus felt there. And then as he goes on, it says, my Father, if it's possible, take this away from me. I don't want to do this. I really, really, really don't want to do it. And not in this one, but in one of them. One of the Gospels, it says, isn't it, that his sweat was like drops of blood. He was so uptight about it. He was so uptight. And we can sanitize it and think, yeah, Jesus went through that and died and then rose again. But you know, going through it at the time and thinking about the disciples' perspective, you know, sometimes we can be a bit critical of the disciples, I think, falling asleep here or poor old Peter running away. Poor old Peter denying Jesus, but of course Peter was the one who didn't run away. Yeah. He was there. He might have denied Jesus, but he hadn't run away. But they didn't know what was happening. They didn't know what. They hadn't read the end of the story. They hadn't, because it hadn't happened. They hadn't lived it out. They didn't know what was going on at this point. Just imagine you were there living through that. Imagine you were there living through it. You don't know the end. They must have been so confused. What is going on? This guy has come as a king, a saviour, whatever. And he's talking about being betrayed and dying and whatever. How much did Jesus love us? How confusing must it have been for those disciples? And yet they stuck the course. One way or another, with God's help, they stuck the course. They didn't get everything right, obviously we know that, but they stuck the course. They showed a fantastic amount of courage. Gethsemane shows just how much Jesus loved us and how much he loved God as well, because he was prepared to do what God wanted him to do, even though he really, 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 really didn't want to. He knew what was coming. He knew that suffering he was going to have to go through if he went through with it. And there's another little bit, we touched on this just a tiny bit the other day, from Mark chapter 14. Just a couple of verses I'm going to read. Shows not only how much Jesus loved his disciples, how much he loved us, how much he loved God, how much he even loved Judas. Where it says, when evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. When they were reclining at the table eating, he said, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. And they were saddened, and one by one said to him, surely you don't mean me. They didn't all say, well, it's going to be Judas, isn't it? Because you know, we know that, you know, you've said before that Judas is the one. Or, you know, Judas was a guy who stole, apparently, money from them. Judas was the guy who was betraying them. But Jesus had never treated Judas, it seems to me, from that, any differently to he treated the rest of the disciples. He loved even Judas that much. So our response, what's our response to that love as we sort of celebrate it today on Good Friday? Rejoicing, so much in the Bible, but it talks about prayer, and it talks also about rejoicing and prayer in thankfulness and that sort of thing. And that does work, I think, actually. Staying thankful, it alters your frame of mind a little bit. Rejoicing, giving thanks. Surrendering our lives. I know that sounds very spiritual, doesn't it? Surrendering our lives. What does that mean? It means just doing what he wants us to do. Doing what he wants us to do, even when it's difficult. In another of the Gospels, John chapter 15, again at the same similar sort of stage. Just look at the time. I've got plenty of time. I'm not going to go on for long, don't worry. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus was obviously about to live that out, laying down his life for his friends, and including us in that as well. We probably won't be asked to die for our friends, but I'm not sure that's really what that bit means, really, as far as we're concerned. I think that's laying down your life for your friends just involves putting yourself out for them, doing things, loving things, doing things that show Jesus' love. One of the things we've talked about at times is making Jesus' love relevant. How do we make Jesus relevant to our community, people who don't know him? We do it through showing love, through showing our love in response to how much Jesus loved us. We say, okay, Lord, I'm going to try and do the things you want me to do and live the way you want me to. And that's hard. And like the disciples, we are going to get it wrong. To me, that's the essence of Good Friday. Is Jesus loved us so much that he was prepared to go through that, not knowing what the end would be, not knowing if he could do it, but also knowing what he was going to have to go through if he did do it, and he did it. He did it for us. And the disciples stuck the course, even though they must have, even afterwards, even when he rose again. I wonder how they felt then. Confused? What is going on here? Because we know it. We know the story. We know it so well. It almost becomes, you know, trivialised sometimes. They were living it out. And they'd seen this guy who they'd dedicated their life to, killed. And then suddenly he's back again. How? With all the joy and all the... They must have blown their minds away. And yet they came through it. Which is great. Response to what... How much Jesus loved for us, to what he did for us. How does that affect how we live our daily lives? Not our lives here, because it's easy to be a Christian, isn't it, when we're sitting in church. We're all lovely people and we'll be nice to each other. But it's not so easy when we're outside, when we're living our life day to day. But that's when the crux is. That's what Jesus' love for us. And laying down your life for people is all about just little things, ways we can show Jesus' love to people that eventually, hopefully, will make a difference in their lives. It doesn't even matter if we don't say the right words. We're showing his love to people in our families, our friends, our communities, whatever. It does make a difference. I think I'm going to stop there. We're going to sing another song, number 596. And then, as we come towards communion, we're going to have just a little quiet time of quietness. If people want to pray out loud, then do, but don't feel you have to. It's good to have sometimes a time where we're just quiet together and let God speak to us. Let God say whatever he wants to say to us. So we'll sing this.